Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the work session and the City Council work session. We talked about the traffic order, of course, continue our discussion. And I think we'll all agree that we had a very good meeting last time. We got a lot accomplished. And there may still be some questions. At least we got something on paper. And I want to thank our staff, Roger, Ed, and the company, putting all the thoughts together and coming up with a new draft ordinance that we look at now. Yeah. Change it some more, right? Yeah, and then do it again. But I think we did get through some of the more questionable items and some that we've had more discussion, although admittedly there's probably a couple others. But I want to thank the committee, too. Citizens Committee for working with us. And I think we can see how by working together real well we can get something accomplished real fast. And who knows, maybe this will be the last meeting we have before we go back to council. And then of course in council we would have a first reading and then have a public hearing, and if we needed another public hearing we'd have another public hearing until we all can say that we feel like we've got a real consensus on what we've got as far as the ordinance to pass. So without further ado, Roger, why don't you pick it up, sir?
Thank you. We have tonight with us Roger Dyer. I know we had some questions at the last meeting concerning some of the traffic issues, so I invite him because there comes up with technical issues. We hope that the essence of what we discussed the last meeting was captured in the new wording that we have in front of us. I know we're going to have some changes and some other ideas, but hopefully some of the major issues that we were working on. And in saying that, I know that as we gather here together, probably not everybody feels 100% that this is exactly what we'd like to have, but I think this is what the consensus was and what the group wanted. The easiest way for us as a staff to look at this and to see what changes we need to make, at this point I thought we'd go through it section by section and see what, if any, comments you have and what you would maybe like to change or correct in this. So if you could turn to...
Can I ask you a general question before you start? I've never been on one of these where you're trying to write it. An ordinance or procedure, I mean, it's to write the contract and stuff like that. So, are we supposed to have this thing written so tight that it works like a contract, or is it doesn't matter?
Typically, what happens on this, John, is that once we all develop some language, then
the lawyers put it together,
then council is going to go back and relook at it. Let's hope not.
Because that was some of my questions we go through. What does this really mean? You know. That type of
and if there's some questions of what does this really mean, then we probably need to discuss it. So if you don't understand it, certainly the engineer or developer not going to understand it.
I didn't hear it.
Tad didn't hear that either.
Let me say one other thing. Come back to John's question. I don't know whether it helps or not, but in one of the ordinances, yeah, I'm trying to get to it. Oh, it's called scene.
Step-by-step process.
And that's very good. And Roger and I talked with it, and I think we all would like to see something like that eventually. Once we get the ordinance down to where we know what steps come and what we're saying, then they could take it and come up with a process step like that so that the developer could look and see what his or her responsibility is and what the staff responsibility is.
I think it would almost also make the work of staff a lot easier because they're going to be consistent.
Absolutely. We want to be able to hand out to a builder, developer, a one- or two-page sheet as to what is expected of them with the traffic order. We didn't want to develop that, though, until we had this ordinance completed, case there should be any of the changes. So once the ordinance actually is passed, then we'll have Roger Dyer and Ed get together and develop that procedural.
I have a question of curiosity. Why is it no longer traffic impact study, but rather traffic management?
We just thought that was a better title for it, that we're trying to manage the traffic. And it more explained, at least for our standpoint, staff standpoint, a better title than a traffic impact study. At some point in time, it might be a traffic management and impact. Here it is, if we ever decide to add impact fees on at a future time. But to state right off it's a traffic impact, some might sort of think that's an impact fee that would be associated with it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other general questions?
I have one. Item number four on the consensus items. Did we agree on that? Maybe I fell asleep at the end of the meeting, but was that the consensus of
the
consensus of the group that we agreed the way?
What about Steve?
Item here, number four.
What major items?
He gets a half mile, he's got a problem.
Is it the half mile?
He gets the half mile.
Yeah. That's what I thought I heard everybody say. Tad made that comment as he was leaving.
I thought you all said
that you wanted, it was important to study it up to a half mile away just to get the information, to get the information as to what this development.
I think the question there is, and this is a question in my mind, is does that mean that and would pay for all the improvements located 1 mile. It could be a mile of improvements. That's the part I had a question.
Well, we talked about just paying for the improvements in front of the property, but to go out half a mile, and then we
start
to see
how
if it's out there, make sure your study does that.
I feel like I have responsibility for that because I'm the one who threw up pro rata. But right. My point was, if we're going to consider going out a half a mile, it should be pro rata and not full cost of the improvements. I didn't mean to imply that I agree that we should go out a half mile.
We talked about the distance. What distance? We left all of that question for about 5 minutes or so, and then we threw in the half mile.
Right.
But for the study. The question I have is in reality, if you take a piece of property that's in the middle between Darty Road and Michigan and Pine Log, which is the main problem area to look at, and it's in the middle, the property that's in the county. We said, all right, this piece of property, it's a half mile either way, and the improvements would be pro rata. Well, how do we figure that? You understand what I'm saying? I mean, if we're trying to get those people annexing the city, and the cost of that to try to solve that problem, I'm just wondering how the logistics.
Okay, what we understood. The consensus was that, and let's take the example that you just gave, is that the study would look at the area where the development's at and then study it up to a half mile from that point if there's some major intersections. That the improvements would be paid for 100% in front of the development, and anything away from the development would be on a pro rata basis.
That pro rata is what I'm trying to figure out. How would that be? I mean, I know we may not know that now, but that's a big question mark.
How would we develop that pro rata?
And the improvements as such, in other words, if we get past level D on Whiskey Road, which may happen, you don't know, and the improvements to alleviate that is the connectors from Darty to the new Kroger and to the mall, and connect in from Eastgate all the way around. If those are the improvements that will reduce the level, how does the pro rata of that work? Pro rata of the cost to complete that?
To mitigate that.
Yeah, but what we're talking about probably $10 or $15 million worth of improvements. And what does that pro rata mean?
Where do you get the percentage?
Yeah, where does that percentage come from?
Well,
that's the only question I have.
Why don't we ask Roger Dyer about this? Because I'm really concerned about this as well. I don't see how, I mean, if it's pro, I don't even want to get into this now, but if it's pro rata, how much is the city going to be liable for goodness
sakes? Most of it.
And how can we budget this, for God's sakes?
And
are we going to have to tell everybody, no, we don't have this money in our budget, so we can't do this project, or we can't accept this project, or what? I mean, and I was just curious if Roger had any answers from other places, you know.
The ones that I'm most familiar with that have gotten to that level of detail, parsing things out, and kind of said there's a minimum threshold quality of flow level service that we will provide. And the proportion that the governmental entity would pay would be what it takes to get you to that minimum threshold. And if anything else, which is over and above that, which is due to the development, that would be the sole responsibility of the development council. And so once I've seen them parsed it out that finally, that's the way they've done it. So we've established a baseline level service. Here's what we need. And the cost of building the road, street, traffic signal, whatever the improvement may be, to get us to that point is the base level we need to provide for the community. And things over and above that that relate purely to that development need to relate back to that development. And typically the way they do that is to look at either the ADT or the peak hour traffic and go back and apportion it by an increase in traffic volume. Some places do it by decrement of the remaining capacity in the road, and some do it by just additional traffic.
Can you give us a non-engineer answer to that? I mean, dollars and cents wise. Give us an example of how it works in someplace else. Build a Lowe's and FedEx and their impact fees. How it's calculated. Do you have any examples like that?
Let me ask you a question regarding sort of the numbers, guys. And if you look at the numbers here, we're at a D now, and that's up to 90% capacity. And I'm assuming that Whiskey Road is probably at about 85% capacity, but under the 90. And we put a development in, it takes it to 92. That means the developer only pays 2 out of the 94 parts of the cost of that development and mitigation, and the city has to pay the rest.
I'm not sure if I can answer both questions with the same example, and you know, we might need to have some more discussions about it. But I guess one way to look at it is if you had, let's say you had a section of the road that is operating just fine, and it's going to operate that way into the future, some period of years, and everything's okay. New development comes in, and purely because of that new development, the average daily traffic, let's say, is going to go from 10,000 to 15,000. And without that development occurring, you don't need to do any improvements. I think in that case, you will say that the entire cost should be borne by development. Because that development...
Well, that's a real low rider.
You get 100% CC account.
On the other hand, if you had a location that had steadily growing volume of traffic, and over the course of time as the traffic grows plus this new development comes in, a portion of the new traffic would have happened anyway and a portion would not have. And that's what some communities do, is they look at how much would have occurred anyway, and that's the part that the governmental entity says we're obligated to pay for, because we would have had to do that anyway if this development didn't come in.
So I guess fundamentally, I got a slight problem with the last man in the door paid 100%. And I don't think, we can say that, but I guarantee one thing, once Whiskey Road gets full and you say the next guy in pays 100% of the cost to improve this, we just said stay in the county, because they ain't going to do it. I mean, I don't think they physically can do that.
Well, what are we talking about, Roger? Are you talking about improvements? I mean, is it a stoplight? I mean, what are the normal improvements that need to be made a half a mile away or something like that?
Traffic signals, adding a turn lane, adding additional through lanes in some cases, channelization. Some communities include sidewalks, lighting in some cases. Those are the type of things that are usually included. Drainage improvements, perhaps.
Yeah.
Necessary.
This is real.
Can I give you a real example of what we're talking here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Again, let's go back to Pat's example. Somewhere between Pine Log Road and Dory Road, you're going to be building a large big box out there. And that's going to add 5,000 new vehicle trips a day. And because of that, you're going to need to make some major intersection improvements at Dory Road, so the flow in and out of Dory Road is improved. Half a mile away from this development. And let's say those improvements cost $500,000. And that as Roger said, maybe there was 10,000 trips a day there, and now you're adding 5,000 more. The way it's written right now is one-third of the cost improvements would be borne by the developer, two-thirds by someone else. That's pro rata. In other words, you went over the threshold, a third of the trips were because of the new development. You know, it might be 5% of the trips were because of the new development, or 10%, so therefore it would be 5 or 10% of the cost improvement. The question that I think you need to understand or to think about is who's going to pay for the other, in this case, two-thirds, 80%, 90%. This does not address that. This was not trying to attempt to address it. All we're trying to address is that you're carrying it over the threshold, and therefore the developer should pay for a certain portion, which I thought we discussed and said was going to be the pro rata share.
Yeah, but if you're never going to do the change, if the city can't afford to do the two-thirds, then why would you take the one-third from the developer?
But you've got to give back to the point of this.
We can't make that improvement. I think that council has got to look at some point in time, and several of you brought this up at the meeting, is maybe there needs to be some kind of a fee at some point to pay for those improvements, because the state, the county, and the city is not going to have enough money in the short term anyways, just sitting waiting to do improvements. And in many of these cases, these improvements may need to be made in the county. In other words, Doherty Road and Whiskey Road intersection is not in the city, folks. None of Whiskey Road is in the city.
Most of them are state roads.
Most of those are state roads, and we've talked to the state, and the state, at least until the foreseeable future, is not going to have money for these improvements.
Roger, I think another source of money we need to look at is the use of some of the arts money. Put some of that away, maybe each year. That goes for roads. Now, you know, another kind of example of this is kind of what we're planning to do the next year or so is widen Silver Bluff Road. That money is going to come from arts. And hopefully, I don't know if any of that's on once in sales tax or not. I think that's arts. Silver Bluff. Widening Silver Bluff.
I believe it's 100% arts.
So you say, okay, why are we going to widen that? Well, we're going to widen that based on what's coming in the future. We know that we're going to need that widen in the future. Work that's going to go on the wayside, work that's going to go on some of that land that's not developed yet, out there on both sides of the road. So we're going to do that for farmers. We're not trying to say, okay, because of what's going to go there, we want that landowner right now to put in so much money.
But my concern is, and that with that example, Mr. Mayor, what was the time cycle from the decision when it was felt that Silver Bluff Road should be widened to when it's actually going to be widened? How many years?
Well, it's been talked about for a number of years. Yeah. I don't know, five or more years.
And we
just know that's something that needs to be done.
Exactly, but if you apply that principle to what we're talking about, what the subject up, I don't see how a developer can work under those conditions. It's so many grey areas. It's a big grey area there. And I don't know where the city would get the city or the state would get the money from. Well, in a reasonable period of time.
Well, certainly that's something we've got to determine where the money's coming from. Roger's already said, I think we talked about I'm not going to mention the word tax, but a tax on each vehicle. The county has about $15 tax, it's a 10,
$15.
That they use that money for the road work. We don't have that. Maybe we need that. But ours is a source, I think, for some of the money. I think once in sales tax, it's nothing that you can really depend on. We hope that it'll be passed this time. But there's no money right now in there, per se, for this kind of thing. We've got some money in there for buying land and doing engineering for the connector that's to go with the Silver Bluff. And there's some other things we've got, Doherty Road work and something, but we don't have a lot of money in there specifically to cover this kind of thing.
But this sort of problem really going to arise, as I see it, as I hear it, from a major development where you've got a sizable key store.
small business, small strip mall, you're not going to trigger off this sort of thing. So if you accept that argument, you've got a major store called the XYZ company. They want to be here. They want location. They want access. They want visibility. I've been in that position myself in my commercial life, where I have paid a premium because I wanted to be there. I had to be there. It was good for my business. And I think that principle applies. And you've got this example which came out, I think, at the last meeting. What a good corporate citizen Kroger has been in terms of its new development on Southside. I believe that major business will recognize it to be a good corporate citizen, want to do it right, it has to pay where it wants to be. And so everything you're going to have to lean on there. They want to be here, so let them pay for the privilege of being here.
There are various opinions on this.
That's my opinion.
You notice one of them down in Beaufort County, where they had it so much per vehicle. And they're very...
But it was an impact. It was
an impact.
Right. And actually, we're talking about something here. This pro-rata question only seems to come up in those cases where there's also an impact fee, and then it's balanced against that. To me, we took out the impact fee, as you know, last year, but I honestly believe that it was the best way of going about this for the future. And we really ought to consider the fact that if we do it by impact fee, there's no last man. And every developer from this day forth is going to pay his fair share of what needs to be done.
But
we don't have other sources.
The law specifically says an impact fee, if you do it, it's got to be used for to put it in.
Absolutely.
And if we say, well, that's going to take $10 million to solve the problem, and we don't have it, so give me $2 million, Mr. Developer, and trust us, we'll do something with it.
I don't think that should be acceptable to the city council, because if we're going to go, we can't go ahead on spec. I mean, if we're going to really put something at an E or an F level on Whiskey Road, then I think we have to have a solution in hand before we approve the project. And impact fees will help, I think, do that, because then at least we know we have an assured source of income for the future for the projects, and every development is paying its fair share.
I want to just ask a question. We know we've got a certain amount of money in the 1-cent sales tax to do turn lanes and do some things on Dolly Road and do some either connect in or do a study to connect in to the new Kroger, somehow get into the new Kroger and go to the mall. That we've studied that and we think we have some solutions on that. If we had, sorry, it's going to cost us $2 million to do that. 1 cent sales tax pays for $1 million. So-and-so, X percent would be paid by impact fee. X percent would be paid by the city. Mm-hmm. And also submit something to the state so they can try to take care of their own road. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they would try to pay one of our roads somewhere. That is a plan. And at least we could show that we've got, this is where the money will come from, but plan for it. And that, yeah, I know the developer wants to pay an impact fee, but if he knows it helps get traffic to his site, mm-hmm. In other words, if it helps get a light at Kroger, which we already know that they would have to pay to help their own property. I think
that's a given.
Then at least, but see, it's got to be tied into what we will do. Not something about just give us the money and trust us. Right. And that's the problem I got with this. If it's pro rata, it's got to be pro rata of something, of a plan.
Now, by state law, if you're going to have an impact fee, the law is very clear that you have to set up ahead of time and identify what project mm-hmm. the impact fee is going to be used for. And you can only use the money that you're going to get in from future development for those specific projects. You can't take that money and start using it in a general fund for recreation or some other thing. So you identify ahead of time, and this is what Roger Dyer did a year and a half ago. He identified X number of $1 million worth of projects. From that, he then identified what he thought would be how much development would occur over the next 5 to 10 years. He took the number of projects, dollar-wise, the amount of development, divided it up, and came up with a fee that he thought would be associated for, I think it was based on a single-family home, it was 800-some dollars. And then based on that, it turned out to be so much per square foot for buildings. At that time, because it was a high number, and we all said in the room that 800 and some dollars for a single residential dwelling unit to pay for the impact, it was an awful lot of money. I said, okay, council, let's do this. We have a 1 cent sales tax referendum coming up to next year. Let's see what projects that Roger Dyer has identified that maybe we could pay for with 1 cent sales tax, remove those, and we could come up with a much probably lower impact fee. Mm-hmm. But you all are correct. Right now, the way it's written is we would identify certain projects. The developer says he's going to set aside money for 2 years. 2 years is going to come up. We don't have any matching funds.
Right.
And we'll be giving checks for
the developer. It'll be the same way, though. It'll be the same way, Roger, with an impact fee. When you have a project that comes in, there will not enough money will not be accrued from that fee to make your improvement, because an impact fee will not pay for the full improvements that need to be done. But so it's the same. It's the same.
It is and it isn't, because you could, if we can anticipate what funding we'll get in over a period of time.
We'll anticipate with the program. I mean, what's the...
Well, I'm just saying, if we can anticipate through an impact fee what dollars we'll get in over, let's say, the next 5 or 10 year period, we could always borrow money to pay for those improvements, knowing that we'll get money back over a period of time. You know, there is some risk involved in that, but that's what bankers are for, so you deal with the risk.
Looking at that realistically, where we all know where the problem is, there are no tracks of size that is going to allow a box to go there. They're gone. It's over. That's done. They have to move out. They will not be within the half mile of one of the few connectors we do have, which is dark. I mean, the problem is we have no connectors. That's our problem. We have one spine road that everything's built on. There is no connectors. There will not be many left-hand movements that we all are concerned about that are going to be out there, because there's no more tracks left of that size that abut Whiskey until you get them in.
Let me just give an example on the corner of Dory and Whiskey. We know that's, you know, that track, the old Millbrook Road, was there right before anything was built on Whiskey Road. That's probably one track that I would love to see built. I mean, I would love to see it in the city, get track, people parking it now. If that came, and we had this much pro rata, if we had this written that way, what would it mean? I mean, if a guy buys it where the title max is and you're able to acquire all of that land and do a development, it's probably 4 or 5 acres. It would fall under this.
But because it's a redevelopment, it may not add any more traffic than what currently is going to those existing buildings. But let's say there was some increase in traffic, and there was a need for improvements away from that development. The way it's written here right now is we would determine what share of the overall traffic that they're adding to. So if the traffic's 20,000 cars a day and they add 1,000 more, they'd be paying for 5% of the improvement.
And the city hasn't come up with the other 95%. So
city, state, or
it seems world. Like this is a big problem, because if we don't solve it, I'm not sure whether there's a need for the traffic ordinance, because otherwise we're just going to make the developer pay for the traffic ordinance. It's going to tell us there's a problem, and we're not going to be able to afford to solve the problem. So why did we do
that? That's not true. We can solve the problem. The question comes with whether you want to. Who do you want to pay for?
The developer shouldn't pay for 100%. That would be wrong.
It all depends on how you define what the purpose of this ordinance is.
Right.
We're supposed to be talking about increased traffic caused by development. Mr. Dyer's comment, I think, is went over some folks here. If there's additional traffic that's going to happen anyway, that's what you pro rata on. If you're going to pro rata existing defects, existing deficiencies in the city system, then I don't know why you need this ordinance. I mean, it's not going to address the increased traffic caused by development. It's just going to find a way not to pay anything.
That's not true, not by a stretch.
If we're doing a project
on Whiskey Road, then if you think our traffic impacts are not being addressed and we're not paying for it, you're sadly mistaken.
Well, I'm talking about the developer doing a project.
We're doing a project.
Okay.
But, and we're putting in lanes and we're
signaling. In front of your property.
That's right.
Left turn lane in.
That's right. And taking two cuts that are on Whiskey away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there are.
I'm not disapproving, Jeremiah.
Yeah.
It was a good practice, and in fact, don't forget, it was also the consequence of a traffic study.
That's exactly right. And everybody will do that study. What we really are, this ordinance looks at the city as a whole. Mm-hmm. We keep concentrating on about a mile and a half stretch that really is called, what we call in our business, that's infill development. You will not have any more major projects going in this stretch.
Between.
There will be some infilling from what I would say, Whiskey Road, really down past Mall. What's left is going to be what we call as infill development, it'll be redevelopment. And you certainly don't want to have an ordinance, in my mind, there are things out there that we can improve on in our city. And at the same time, help the traffic situation on Whiskey Road by having cross connectors, internal cross connectors, take some of these curb cuts that are off of Whiskey Road, concentrate on two points, and people will do that. And if we get, I wasn't so concerned about the pro rata. The pro rata, in my mind, in that situation, the amount of traffic that will be increased on any of these connectors will be of such, in my view, minimal significance. It's going to be a 10, 15, 20% add. The question that John and I was talking about even before this meeting was, how is the city going to come up with that the way this is drafted now? We've got to dovetail it with something else, or we're going to get ourselves in a little bit of a situation, and you're going to have a problem where we don't get rid of an old residential house that is now being used commercially that we all want it to go away and have a nicer building there and a nicer development there. It'll stop. It'll stay there just like it is.
Roger, is there any way, right now we have, it's a one-cent sales tax passes, we probably got close to $2 million of improvements that I'm aware of with the turn lanes on Daugherty and Silver Bluff and on Whiskey Road and the connector coming in. If we have that roughly $2 million, and we know, and it passes, and we know that money is there, and we have this to where we say, well, if we do this, that if that development is done and it causes more than 1,000 trips per day or whatever, that money can be used to help pay back or set aside as a 5% or something. In other words, we got $2 million, and we know that those are going for improvements to about how we route traffic on Whiskey Road. All right, that's a source of money. And this is passed. Can we use in a year that money to help repay it or to supplement what we're doing? Do you understand?
If those projects that are going to be completed are specifically listed under the 1 cent sales tax referendum, right. We can't add new projects
to that. Can we use that and say, listen, folks, we're going to get a connection from Kroger all the way to the mall, and I happen to believe that's going to be a very important thing to do. It's part of the problem with Whiskey Road now, but one way to get in and out. Can we, if this does pass from a pro rata standpoint, could we use that as a baseline to say if it's 5% of your growth, it's $5,000 or whatever, and we can use that money to help pay for some of those improvements?
Certainly.
See, that's what I'm looking at.
How does that connector road interface with the ordinance? I'm confused. I mean, they're going to do that anyway.
No, but what I'm saying is if the ordinance says that it's pro rata and your problem is the city's got to pay for
90, whatever the percentage is, and we don't have it, we haven't written it as such, then there's no way to collect the impact.
It's only pro rata if there's some development that's going to cause additional traffic on that road. If there's no project, no development that causes additional traffic on that road, then the city's going to build that connector road whenever it gets the money to do it.
Well, I mean,
and there's no program issue.
From the standpoint of the developer, says, well, I'm not causing any additional traffic. Why the heck am I putting any? That's the point. I mean, if I would imagine that if the way this is written, we're trying to see if it does. That's what the study's going to tell us. If it does, then obviously there would be impact. All I'm saying is, how do we calculate? The way it's written right now, unless we have a source of funds to fix the problem, we don't ever do anything.
And we may be trying to create something here that we don't really have. We're not going to be taking a Whiskey Road, or let's get off of Whiskey Road. Let's go over to Pine Log Road. And say a large development is going to create itself at Pine Log and Banks Mill Road. Most of these roads are already wide in four lanes. Unless you start getting into a major widening of road, typically all you're going to have is a new traffic signal, a turn lane, some other major
XL, DCL.
You're not going to have $1 million improvements. Most of these improvements are going to be in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. Give you a good example. We're getting right now at sometime in 2005, and we were told it's probably going to be the latter part of 2005. We're going to take the intersections on Doherty Road at Whiskey and Doherty Road at Silver Bluff and add at least one more lane on Doherty Road. So where the bowling alley's at, there'll be additional lanes. The two right-hand lanes can turn on Whiskey Road. You know, widen where that, I'm going to call it a liquor store.
Used to be.
Title Max now. And widen that out so that people could turn without going across the curb cut, the curbing that's there. That's going to be improved in a little over a year from now. That improvement's going to be about $300,000. Again, a lot of money, but it's a doable when you start talking $300,000. We're not talking millions of dollars here. Could we come up with money to supplement that? I mean, it would be nice if we had an impact fee or some other way of doing it. But so far, and let's hope that the track record continues, all these improvements that we've done today, Ola Hit Lane between Crystals and Arby's, we did with our money. You know, and we made a nice improvement there. We made some connectors in between the Target and the mall, again with our own money. And what we're going to be looking at in the future is going to be turn lanes, a few extra signals. Kroger's, we've been told today that the Kroger's is going to get a signal at Pawnee. Pawnee is where Kentucky Fried Chicken and Southside Galleries is at. Who's going to pay for it? Kroger's. And so most of these improvements are going to either be A, paid for by the developer, or they're going to be some pro rata share, but again, most of these will be done at the time some development will be created fairly close by.
Well, do we have the money set aside to go from Kroger all the way to the mall?
If you want to go down Pawnee, and then it's going to go wind its way through Walmart, and you get on down to Doherty, yes. If we want to go ahead and build a bridge over the detention pond that's behind the current Kmart, no.
Roger.
In other words, we're going to build new roadways. No, we do not have that kind of money.
Given what you just said about your intentions for Doherty Road, if a business wanted to develop something on Doherty Road, would not a traffic engineer take into consideration that the city has already announced plans to do traffic lane changes, and that ought not to be a cost of the developer?
What seems
to me.
One thing
that's written already approved.
Says that the developer goes ahead and makes some improvements in the city reimburses them.
Because he's already paying an impact fee.
Because
he's paying an impact fee, that's why they reimburse those pre-planned projects.
This is one where it was already on there.
And the capital projects.
And then they can get reimbursed. Because they could probably do it. Like Roger said, they may not get their money for 3 years or over 3 years or something. And you can go ahead and have an improvement done now.
But that's really why I was suggesting that the impact fee method does that and spreads it fairly across Hudson Park.
I'm not too sure we're going to solve this issue tonight. I think we're all talking about the same thing, about trying to develop an alternate means to come up with some funding to resolve this problem. That may have to take a whole other discussion, and it's a whole other issue. I think there's some benefit, as Jim said, in having a traffic study. Because it tells you an awful lot of things that are valuable to both council and citizens alike as to what needs to be done. I think we're wrestling for some time as to how do you pay for it. We've been wrestling how do you pay for these things for, I've been city manager for 6 years now. We've been wrestling with that.
And we hope we continue to grow. I mean, that's, I would think that we would hope we continue to grow.
And we're taking a much more proactive stance now. One of the issues in the 1 cent sales tax is to take a roadway. And in fact, we got 7 proposals in today on hiring a consultant to find the connector roadway between Powerhouse and Whiskey Road. Probably an extension of East State Drive, which is going to relieve traffic tremendously on Whiskey Road. And then we also have a proposal to go from that roadway north to Centennial. We need more roadways to interconnect than a brand new roadways. The traffic study was not talking about a program share to pay for brand new roadways. It was to pay for the improvements on existing roadways, not brand new roadways.
But I think it's because you widen that half mile, mile, whatever it's going to be, the wider you go, the more expensive and more potential there is for improvements. I think you end up spending a lot more money if it's a half mile. The only one I saw that had any distance on it, Newport County, which is a quarter of a mile.
The issue again is how you tie the program. If you're going to tie the project into existing deficiencies, or if you're going to, as Roger said, relate additional traffic strictly caused by the development, then I think. I support being concerned with existing with additional traffic caused by the development, as opposed to trying to get the developer to pay for problems that exist even before the development comes forward.
And that's the way it's written right now.
Yeah.
If we could go through, why we go through this, and when we get to those areas, then we can discuss it in a little more detail. Or else we're not going to do anywhere in that development. And we'll have to sit here and talk for our, what's the next one? The first page. Does anybody have any questions on the first page, comments?
Roger, one thing we need to get straight is the first sentence.
I think we all agree.
We have blew through that. We will try to maintain at least the level of service. On page 3 over here, under 2B3, it says to ensure. What are you saying to ensure? Are we going to try or are we going to ensure?
Probably going to another word there.
Oh, it should be ensure.
I agree with the mayor. It should be just maintained because you've got other places in here to get around it.
But you know, try to maintain, I mean, that's kind of weak.
Yeah. Show B to maintain.
Right.
Do you see what it says?
I think so. That
would be mine. Mr. Mayor, I couldn't agree with you more.
Moving on. Mr. Mayor, sentence number 2 okay?
Number 2 is okay right now.
Any other questions on the page? Hearing none, we'll go to page 2. I know. We've got to get some of them.
We're going to get right back where we were.
Hurry up so we can get back. Page 2. You can see the changes we've made as far as when does a traffic study need to be developed in that first section. Section 2 or section 2.4, again, is just going through some of the requirements based on information that's pretty typical in a lot of ordinances like this.
Roger, on page 2, mm-hmm. Item C, we say, if new will generate 1,000 or more vehicles per day, or if an expansion or change of existing use shall add 1,000 or more trips per day. Are we going to, and I guess this is a question for Roger, when you track the engineers that we hire study these things, are you taking into account pass-by trips, et cetera?
Yes.
So it will be it is new trips per day, not somebody that goes to that's already traveling that road.
Net new trips.
Correct.
Well, if we're going to tie it to new trips, it needs to be net new trips.
It needs to say so.
Okay.
So it takes confusion.
Well, it says it in a way that it doesn't mean that it means something new, and then the other one says add, which also means something new. So, whatever. Well, that opens up a discussion we had last meeting where you try to, that's what we pay traffic engineer for. I know, but you reeled out that 1,000 because 500 are there whether you develop it or not, and it's net new trips.
So we're saying that in C, the very last part, it says it shall add 1,000 or more net new trips per day. And this is for a change or expansion.
No.
For
Roger, excuse me, is that really logical? I don't follow. I mean, the generation studies are really based on what that building will produce. That store.
When you do a traffic impact study, you predict the traffic generation and you predict how much of that traffic will come from the stream that's already there.
It's already there.
And that stream that's already there is called pass-by trips.
Okay.
So when you look at the total new traffic added to the street, it's the generation minus what's already there. So it's your net.
And as Roger knows, and there's also internal capture trips that you have.
I don't remember reading that in the studies.
Well, what I'm saying is we're basing everything on a level of service D, Mr. Smith, on our road. We're not going to go below that.
Right.
So we've got to get those cars that don't own Whiskey Mountain. So what we're doing is we're wanting to quantify the new trips on Whiskey Road, because that can affect whether or not that project can even be built. Okay? So it's got to be net new trips, or I don't know how.
So is there a formula for that?
Sure, they do.
Determining how many of the pass bys.
Well, it varies with the land use. Fast food restaurants going to be 50 or maybe more percent pass bys. Folks are already passing by the site. A new residential development will probably have zero pass-by because of the...
Is that a standard or is that a federal?
No, is it something we can read in a manual?
Yes.
Wait a minute. Are we still on whether we do a study? Because I don't know how you do it without... You've got to have a study to see whether it's net or not. I think... Aren't we folding back to the impact part?
No. When he does a study, he's just going to get to net new trips. And it's not that difficult. And they do it for me and every project.
But what I'm saying is, this is
such a... I know what it is.
Any proposed project has frontage on road with a level service where such project new will generate net new trips. Is that right? I mean, this will determine whether you do a study. You can't even get there unless you do the study. So we're back onto the impact part again, right? Because we know we have to do the study, see which is what it is. That's what this paragraph is talking about.
Yeah,
not, when we done,
it's not the study. It's not... It's really just... We're taking, as I understood, those trip generations for each kind of category, adding them up, and if that adds up to 1,000 or more, then you do a study.
That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about doing a study.
Yeah, so
I understand what your question is. Yeah. You kind of fold into the...
It does fold together.
Right.
It's hard to differentiate.
Yeah.
Well, but then you can't determine 1,000 trees. You're saying you can't get there without the study.
I think what we're saying is we're going to do it, but then when you get into the what happens once you get it, then it's going to be met over here.
Should be over there, but not.
I understand. Yeah.
There are guidelines under 11.3 for when a study should be done.
But I think those are general. That's.
Could I make a comment on that? Maybe clarify something.
Yes, please.
What the anticipation was is that we put together a policy and procedure guide that would kind of say, this is how this gets done. And included in that would be some charts or some lookup tables. And for example, if you're coming in to do a fast food restaurant and it's 5,000 square feet, you can look on the chart, 5,000 square feet generates this many trips, and on average, this many of them would be new trips. Therefore, the difference would be that what they did in the system. And then that number, of course, you then look at the 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, look at the level of service, and see if you have to do a study. So that effort will be handled by the staff as requests come in or potential permit locations come in. Staff will look at that. If they needed me to look at it, I would. But they take a look at and determine on each development as it comes in where they fall in terms of threshold.
So apparently simple point.
Look it up.
The beginning is net.
Roger's that similar to the tables in the Greenville?
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
yes,
sir.
So on page 1 and page 2, that'll be changed to net new trips. Okay, anything else on page 2?
I've got something on page 2.
That's right.
Sort of goes back to page 1.
Okay.
I just, and Pat brought this up, the Millbrook property, grocery property, and we'd love to have it redeveloped and all that. I really question the requirement to do a traffic study for annexation. That's a case where you might have the owner wants to annex to get sewer, but we're going to make him pay for a traffic study for the highest possible intense use that property could have on it, whereas he may not end up developing it. I think we're creating a hurdle for actually people to be annexed.
I'm going to put it in if it's existing and stay the same, that no traffic.
If they want to annex a property, the reason for that I see that we have it in here for annexation, we put a certain zoning on each of our annexation. Probably a good example that we're dealing with right now is there's 20-some acres of property behind Hidden Haven. That could come in as a multifamily, it could come in as an RS-15. But they're asking for an annexation. Until we know how much traffic is going to be generated from that development, it may determine as to what zoning is put on that property or what zoning the city will allow that property to come in at. And we won't know that until we have a traffic study or determine how much traffic would be coming from that development. Am I making any sense?
I mean, I think you cause people not to annex.
Good example is Stoddard property, which is just south of Gem Lakes. They were going to come in with a residential development. They went through the Planning Commission. It was approved. The Planning Commission asked for a traffic study. With that, they withdrew it because they weren't serious enough at that point in time to come into the city and to annex it, knowing that they had to do a study. So in every case, it stopped the annexation.
They still got a permitting process that they got to go through. A traffic study should be part of the permitting process, not the annexation process.
Again, that's council's call, but that's the reason why we felt that a study needed to be done with annexation. We now have another developer ready to buy the Stoddard property that says, absolutely, I will do the study.
But I think it's in the city's best interest in the long run to annex as much property as they can just for survival. I mean, I think it's something that we need to encourage as opposed to discourage people having to spend that. If they bring a development to you and they go to Planning Commission, they can do the traffic study at that point and justify the development that they want to do. If they find out they can't do multifamily or high density,
because of the traffic study, then they're going to have to scale the project down.
But you can't go back once you went ahead and annexed them at that.
Well, can we not just annex them at the lowest residential classification and make them rezone?
If they want to come in and ask for an RS-15 zone, knowing they want to put multifamily, then come back later on and then ask for rezoning.
You're saying once it's rezoned, you can't rezone it again?
Well, you can go back and rezone it, but what Jim was saying is put them at a lower level.
That's what most people do on annexations. It comes in on the lowest residential, and then you go through a rezoning process with the city.
What we have tried to do is to put it at the zoning that they intend to use for that property.
But if there's no intent, if it's just an annex for services or whatever it may be, and we call in the very beginning residential annexation, we can call in this, an exception is made because of the way it was written. Because you're annexing your residential property, you get services, you got to get a traffic study. And it didn't make sense, it wasn't logical. But I just think that you want to encourage any and all owners to come into the city because it allows you to have greater control over the development of it. Of course, it increases your tax base at the same time.
Yeah, but Ted, wouldn't you as a developer want to know the results of that before you brought it into the city? We were going to turn.
Well, it may not be a development. It may just be.
You might buy the land.
You want to speculate on some property, but you want to run the water there.
Yes. Well, we can always give the exception that council could annex it and decide not to spend the money. You know, if we were not, let's say when the Hollies, give an example, Hollies own lots of property along Putter House, Whiskey Road area, and they want to annex 300 acres of vacant property just to get in the city, knowing that utilities could be provided to them sometime in the future. If you all want to annex that in as an RS-15, which is the highest usage there, and not require a traffic study at that point in time, that's something you could always say you don't need.
So if you've got it in your ordinance, they may not even ever bring it to you. You may never see it. Because they're going to look at it, if I do that, it's going to cost me $10,000, whatever, and they just may not do it until the time comes.
The other thought, though, is that it takes a lot of time and money to analyze these annexation requests. To act like this is a doesn't cost anybody anything, it's just not so. Plus, we spent hours and hours trying to do some kind of planning for the south side and we're working on the north side. And we don't need to be spending all this time on annexation requests that don't even reflect what they even intend to do to the property. I mean, if we're going to spend time thinking about how the city can cope with the requirements of that development, water-wise and otherwise, the practical way is to have them request what they want. And when you start doing this business of, well, we bring it in at the lowest possible density and then we start changing zoning and things like that, well, other people next door say, hey, wait a minute, I didn't know.
Who in the world would bring it in our you would have so many people show up and say, I don't want commercial.
No developer would bring it in to the lowest level
and then come back after starting to say it's
our one.
Can I put a shopping center in?
Sure. Everybody's going to go
for it. There will be cases where you have the process, and that's fine.
Well,
but there are
going to
be cases where you don't. There are going to be probably more cases if found. To grow and to be able to get the tax base and where it's going to be times when you don't know where it's
going. So you see that as restricting growth?
Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Didn't I hear you say, Roger, that we now have someone who's interested in that same piece of land?
I think we're talking about the exception, not the rule.
That's very willing to do this.
There may be an exception out there where some person just wants to be part of the city, and I've been involved in other cities where that's the case. But most individuals, when they want to annex for specifically services, is the main reason they want to come to the city, have something in mind as to what they want to use their property for, and therefore are annexing it with a specific purpose in mind. Now, there may be some exceptions out there. We have not run that so far. And that's why we have in here that we
we felt that annexation should have a study, so that once you make that determination of what the zoning should be, it would state that property from that point on.
Yeah, in other words, by the bigger vote.
I have one question on 11-4, G. I don't understand why, if a planned unit development or planned commercial submits it, and the design is, that's what they're going to build. In other words, I think we have the ability to say, this is what we're approving, and you will build this. To require it on the most intense development allowed for the proposed zone, it seems to me, I thought we talked about saying we would allow them, they submit the plan, and whatever the plan is, that's what the study will be based on. But we stamp it, say, you will build this. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, the way this is written, no matter what the plan would call for, it would be based upon the most intense development allowed for the proposed zone.
Yeah, that was not the intent here. Intent is if it's going to come in as a PUD and we know exactly what the PUD, because you're going to approve a concept plan, and that's what the traffic study should be based on, that concept plan.
Well, I mean, but that's not what it said. We should say
it's a good point.
No, I mean, I know we've had that has come up in development, coming in here and saying, well, this is my plan. Well, it doesn't matter. It's R6. You can put 800 units here, but I'm only going to do 600. Which should I do? And I know that we tell them, do the plan at 800. I know that for a fact. That means we just need to say if it's going to be the plan, the traffic.
If it comes in as a PUD, then we would have a concept plan. But if it comes in and they just, we don't know what we want to zone, we have to think of, consider it the most intense zoning that we can have there. I'll give you an example again. Let's go behind the Hidden Haven with Joe Skyer. He didn't say what he was going to build back there, so we had to assume it was going to be an RS6 because that's what he wanted. So we had to assume 100 units could be built back there until it changed the zoning on it.
But if he would submit a plan and said, this is exactly what I want to build,
and it was a PUD, then we could go ahead and approve it based on that.
This just needs some wording change.
Yeah. Okay. You see what we're talking about, Ed?
That's a good point.
We'll talk about it. I understand what you're saying.
You're saying PC and PUD should be the level at which the traffic study.
In other words, if they
based on concept plan. Not something more intense than concept plan. Okay, any other things on 1 or 2?
Do we want to the same paragraph so that it's a subsequent development of less intent than that?
Where are you at? Back to G.
Yes. Six.
With less intent than what the initial study was based, we require another study for the less intense use.
If you wanted to eliminate items that were levied because you were building more than you turned out to be, more than you turned out to be. If you assume it's a worst case,
if you have, and I misunderstand where, if you look at the wording here, but the intent is you would have to submit a
use of potential.
Excuse me. Are not for profits handled the same way as commercial development?
The non for profit is in a zone just like a commercial would be.
And would a traffic study, would they have to do the same thing?
Yes, they would.
And churches and so forth would have to, and
if they were generating traffic, net trips. They would. Okay, we're on page 3. And this is starting to get into what is going to be done within the study itself. Again, we'll have some procedural pages on that developed that we will be giving the engineers, developers to follow. This does get involved on that half a mile distance, which you would study 1/2 mile from the development.
Either way, so you just study them out.
Plus wherever the monthly development is. If it's 4,000 trips or more at those intersections, now you could be in an area where you wouldn't be studying anything more than just the development itself,
right,
if you didn't have any major intersections.
With regard to paragraph 2, for what it's worth, some of the wording in these other studies that we were given, I was very impressed with. I would recommend you consider stealing from some of those. Greenville has some good definitions. Mount Pleasanton had a nice flow chart that's visible to the public and would make this whole process more easily understood. I'm sorry.
Where were you at on this?
Paragraph number 2, you talk about study area and contents. What I was saying was that that the Greenville and Pleasanton ordinances had some wordings and definitions and so forth, flowchart especially, that I was impressed with in the Pleasanton that might add to our ordinance and make it more understandable for everyone.
Okay. Any questions on page 3?
Actually, under 11.5, paragraph 2, this wording has been changed from what it was before. And the planning director shall review each study to determine whether or not a level of service D or better will be assured and filled out of the project. And shall approve the study only if it ensures a level of service D or better. It was kind of before it did have the specific approval statement.
Okay, so you're in section 11.5.
Section 11.5, Article 2.
Where it says the planning director shall review each study to determine whether or not a level of service D or better will be assured and build out of the project.
Yes, and shall approve the study only if it assures a level of service D or better.
I think that's understood.
Well, it's understood, but I'd like it specific.
Well, the previous word
was
very
good. It was in the draft for 2 years.
Yeah.
Now, we were trying to get a little less wordy.
Yeah.
It's kind of wordy, and so we were just trying to say that the planning director shall review each study.
I see that. Yes, before that.
Yes, and there's a lot more words, but I mean, this, I think, still gets the point that he approves it.
Well, yeah. So are you saying we need to change this?
Just add that.
Yeah. And what?
After the comment that clause. And shall approve the study. I've got a piece of paper here with it typed out. So I'll give it to Sarah.
Okay. It doesn't hurt anything to just go a little extra and
clear
that it was intended.
We were trying to take out a few sentences that seemed redundant, though.
That's what we're trying to do. But we're still on page 3.
Well, we jumped to section 8. What question?
I have a question on the bottom of page 3 on section 3. We won't talk about the pro rata part again because we beat that one to death. But when you do a traffic study, the traffic study will tell you if you're impacting the level of service, but it'll also tell you if you need to do improvements for safety and stuff right in front of the project. Is that true?
That's correct.
And that's what you're saying here will be at the cost of the developer. What it says at the project site or adjacent to it.
Right, and that's all going to be under section 11.5.
Right.
Okay, so you're now in 11.5?
Yeah. Okay. The bottom of page 3.
Same thing.
Okay. Item number 3 instead of 2 that we were just talking about. So if the traffic study says the developer has to do something in front of his property, whether it changes the level of service or not, if the traffic study says to do it, the developer still has to do it. Is that true?
It says
put in turn lanes or put in a traffic signal, even if it's not changing the level of service from D to E.
He still has to do that.
And he has to do whatever the traffic study
says. Whatever the traffic study says in front of their development.
Or adjacent.
On or adjacent.
On or adjacent. You think that's not explained well enough here?
No, I just want to make sure I understood.
Oh, okay. I mean, we could add some more words.
I just want to make sure I read it. As long as that's what it says.
I think the question that we argued with, or not argued, but discussed for a long time in 11.5.3, it says if, and this is the very last sentence there, if the necessary improvement is not on or adjacent to the project site, then developer will pay a pro rata share of the improvement based on the increase in traffic volume to be created by the project compared to the current traffic volume. You know, we discussed this some at the very end of our last meeting. We discussed that in the third meeting. And what we're saying in this is if it's not adjacent to the project, so it's a quarter mile away, half a mile away, and an improvement's have to be made, all the developer would be paying for is their pro rata share of the increase in traffic volume, which might be 5% of the improvement, 10%, 20%.
Whatever he wants.
If you had existing 20,000 and he was going to add 10, by what you just said, the developer would pay, what, 33%?
That's correct.
Which is, again, I want to back to the earlier comment on. However you want to try to do
it. Sir, but that is what it's saying.
The study is done based on build out. So the comment I made earlier about if you've got an area where the traffic is going anyway, that's going to be taken into account in the study because it's based on the full build out of the site, which may take, you know, 3 to 5 years depending upon the particular project. So if it is a multi-year project, the normal growth that's going to happen anyway, that's going to be taken into account in the study.
But do most of your studies, are most of your studies written the way we're defining pro rata in our ordinance?
Most of my studies?
Yeah, the studies that you've done. Are most ordinances that you've looked at, do they define pro rata this way?
Yeah.
No.
Well, you know, get down to parsing words again. Most of them say that the impact that results from the new development that occurs needs to be handled by the entity that creates the impact. So that's the way most of them fall in.
And that's not what this is saying.
Yes, it is.
No, I don't. Let's clarify that. I wanted to ask you, Roger. I was just looking at Greenville, and if I understand the little paragraph of Greenville, it does say that the developer pays for all the mitigation, so to speak. And you said we're mitigation.
So required improvements.
Required improvement.
It's
now, in that, just what you said. You just said that, I think. is that? You tell us, please. What does Greenville require?
Well, I'm not that familiar with the Greenville ordinance that actually was written after I left there. I have done some work doing impact studies that had to comply with this, but I actually did not put it together. But I guess the distinction there is if you have a situation where, let's say, turn lane is added to the intersection, it's going to benefit not only the traffic that's going to use the turn lane for the new development, but it's going to benefit other folks as well. So I think it's a policy decision. Does some portion of that benefit accrue back to the folks that are already driving through the intersection, in which case you do the calculation one way, or are you saying that all the benefits relate to the folks that are using it because they're related to the new development? And do calculation another one. So if you're trying to take into account the fact that other people are going to benefit from that improvement that's made, then I think the way you've got it now probably does a better job of doing it the way it's written now.
But they wouldn't have to benefit, or there would be no need if the development had not been created.
That's right.
Well, that's not necessarily so. If it was already a D, and you put the turn lane in, and it changes that movement to a C, they have benefited if you're not there or not.
But if you're already a D, that's your standard.
But our goal is to keep it at a D, not to necessarily go as a D. But both Greenville and Spartanburg do require the whole project to be paid for by the
I can't. Where does it say in Greenville and what the
page 238 page 5
study area is?
Nine.
Because it talks about study area, but I don't find the study area defined. Fine, but it says study area. In the study area, but I can't find what that study
is. I looked at that a little bit twice. I couldn't find it either. I don't know where
it is. So, I mean, it's, you know, you've got to include, you've got to look at, and if a study area is
just here in front
of quarter of a mile or half mile
or just in front of his bed
or in front of the property. I mean, that's what you got to look at because it may be more.
On page,
and I think it's 1 mile.
Page 5 down under, from number 2A says the study area will be determined by the city traffic engineer based on proximity of critical intersections to the proposed development. So it's left to the
It's well defined. It's critical intersections, not a quarter of a, not limited to a quarter of a mile or a half mile. It could be even three quarters of a mile.
Proximity. The word proximity.
Well, in another
the critical intersections. Then they define proximity. So it's just, but it's critical intersections. It's not all intersections. But we're saying in a half mile, it's anything within a half mile, a quarter mile, whatever.
Well, it's a professional judgment of the traffic engineer, who's technically should be well versed in this. They can look at a project and say it's going to get
well,
here, it's going to get there.
But it's also going to eliminate some intersections that just being in a radius or a half mile down the road may not be eliminated. No. I think the determination is a little ambiguous what the study area is. Well, you don't know until you get the project.
What's here talks about signalized intersections and non-signalized that have over, I think we said along with 4,000 feet, so it's actually pretty specific. A lot more specific in this ordinance than the road, which leaves that to the official staff.
I agree with you, Roger. I think all in all, I think the ordinance that was drafted here is an excellent ordinance.
So do I basically. It's only that one little question here.
What's the question? Do you want it to be like Greenville or do you want it to be like Aiken?
Greenville? No, I'd like to be sensible and have something that if you only have to pay 5 or 10%, but we know where the other 90% is coming from.
And if
that's
it's coming
the
from the
point.
Developer, you don't have development.
It's that simple.
Right. So wait, is it the chicken or the egg?
Well, if
they
I'm not sure
away
it's that
and
black
start, well,
that,
if they walked away.
We have, what you're arguing is what we hashed over the entire meeting last time. We're going to set the size of the development to dictate the amount of improvements. And we're just reinventing the wheel with this discussion.
Well, last time you said that you thought that we could raise property taxes.
I certainly think this we're going to have some type of way of raising money to offset what we haven't done for the 30 years I've been in Aiken.
I know, but I want you to think about whether the taxpayers in this town are going to be willing to pay higher taxes so that we can have more shopping centers and more housing developments. They're not going to want to do that. They're going to
say
no.
You're already saying there's a problem here. They're paying for the profit.
They're going to say the people that are instigating the projects and will profit from the projects are the ones that should pay for this, not us. That's what they're saying to me, folks.
Let's we closed the door 20 years ago. I mean, I remember when I knew everybody in Aiken.
I don't think anybody
that's not the case anymore.
Every city in the state has had the same problem. Some come to recognize that it needs to be dealt with later than others. We've come fairly late to the table, but we're here. We're trying to fix it. And we're not going to fix it if we make it so weak to the present meeting.
It gets much more complicated in the city of Aiken rather than it does in those homogeneous areas that have really strict and 14% growth. I mean, the areas that have the strictest ones have 14% growth. I understand why they do it. People demand it. When you got 2.5-3% growth and 6% of your problems in the county, that's where the balance is coming in. And that's, you know, I mean, the developers I talk to, I mean, even the largest one I talk to, say, yeah, he understands the need for impact fees. But he says you got to be careful with it because you don't want to stifle what you got. I'm still trying to grapple with what we're actually talking about with this pro-lab. If you go to Whiskey Road at Pine Hall and Whiskey, and somebody within a half mile there, it's at 90%, okay? And the only way that it can be alleviated, he goes over 100, he's above it.
The only way we can alleviate that is to put a connector road in or something. What percentage would that man pay of that connector road? What is the grip?
This is a stretch that you have to put a connector up.
Well, I mean, the road, real connector, from Kroger to Daugherty, if that's a solution, get more traffic off the Whiskey Road. In other words, and we're over 90%, and he has to say, before he can build his building or whatever, to do something, he has to pay what pro rata of this. If that's the only, because we've already talked about going to six lanes on Whiskey, we ain't going to do that because we'll tear up everything.
Well, one of the things we haven't really talked about yet, and that is the idea of restricting the size, let's say, of what is to be built so that there is not that much traffic.
Okay,
it doesn't give you that problem.
I just want someone to answer
that's in here, and it, as it's written, it gives the Planning Commission, City Council, authority to do that.
To reduce the scope.
Thank you, Dave. We haven't talked about that. And I don't think anybody really wants to do that, but that is an option too.
But does anybody understand what my question was about?
Yeah. I want to know if it's 91% and they've got phase 1 over 90. You said it was just what we go over the.
Yeah, that's
the way he described it.
I think we need to think a little bit more globally than we are about this ordinance. This ordinance is not just for Whiskey Road, which you have already agreed is pretty much all built out anyway, except for a few spots. Now, we need to think in terms of other areas of this city that will be affected by this traffic ordinance, and not limit all of our discussion and concentration on the area we said 30 minutes ago that is already primarily built out. There will be no new big boxes, no big projects on Whiskey Road. Anyway, we know where the problems are on Whiskey.
Well, I don't agree with that there won't be any big boxes or
whatever.
Well,
I'm listening to the developers say that for the most part.
Let me just give another view on that. Maybe I'm wrong. You've got all that property that's in the county across Whiskey Road from the bowling alley. See, maybe if somebody coming in and buying up a bunch of houses there and putting in something big. Now, is that possible?
Cost-benefit analysis there is absolutely it's not achieved. Why don't you just go to Carl Jacobs and build?
Okay.
And then you don't have the track.
After that's done, they look back and say, hey, it's a...
But I still think we need to look at how all of this is going to affect our undeveloped areas and what a developer would be willing to pay for in an area where they would have to.
Basically, the way this is written, this would not hurt you.
I'm just saying, you've got Pine Hog, you've got East Pine Hog Road, you've got the new bypass, you've got all kinds of areas all over this city that can be developed, and we need to look a little bit more at how all of that is going to be affected by our discussion and move away from the area that we know we've got work to do, and we know we can't afford to do everything we need to do to alleviate the
we raised the threshold, that effectively took care of any service left that I know of in the city that it would affect the development. I mean, when it was 100 trips a day, it would have caused some serious problems with studies and impact.
In
the long run, you're going to get, let's say, York Street North, you're going to get development. At some point, that next development's going to kick it to where...
Eventually, it will be.
And so... that's what you can't say. Well, it's not going to have any effect.
Well,
it's written that we got one day.
I think we're ahead of the curve here in all the other areas.
I do too.
Except Whiskey Road.
If we get
something that we can live with on Whiskey Road, then it's going to be something we can live with across the whole city, I think.
But it seems to me all we've talked about is big boxes and shopping places. What about the residential development? None of that's going to happen off major highways because the places won't sell. They're going to be off the quiet roads. That's something we've also got to take into consideration, and which I think this ordinance does, the draft does.
I agree with you 100%. I think that's why it's appropriately named traffic management ordinance, not a traffic impact ordinance.
You know, we talked about a quarter mile houses, a half mile in here, but let's consider whether or not half a mile is what we want, or how about a quarter of a mile? Would that help? Would that hurt?
The study area, I think everybody agrees with, we need to study half a mile over. The question is,
why half a mile?
Well, I mean, I like to study.
Let's just talk.
I don't think anybody, as far as the study area, where the real critical aspect comes in is, How does it impact me? I think a study area is what we need more. If we'd have been doing more studies, we'd have been better off. So I don't think any developer minds doing the study area. It's where that I'd like to see the impact area reduced to a quarter mile. In other words, where you actually say what's my impact? In other words, rather than just right in front of my place, I don't mind maybe a quarter mile from both sides. And that's a half mile for trying to take care of stuff prorated.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Why half a mile on the study?
But you're saying is strength
I'm raising that as a question. Why a half a mile both ways?
I had it written down here, but I would.
What's wrong with a quarter mile?
That's what I'm on the impact part of.
That would.
But then
nothing wrong. The further you study, Mr. Mayor, the better plans your traffic engineer will be able to make in the future.
I don't really mean that, but if that's the case, then you could make a case for going further out.
Sure you can.
I was trying to see if there wasn't some middle ground here.
Yeah.
But that then gets back to the question. Let's say it is exactly half a mile away from Pine Log and Whiskey or something. I hate to use that again, but let's say it is that intersection. And yes, this relatively big project, a half a mile away, is going to affect everything and actually is going to push Whiskey and Pine Log to a level E. What do we do?
You got to see what the mitigation is to get it to D. That's what you have to do.
And then if
the mitigation doesn't get to that, the way this ordinance is written, the council has the right to reduce the size of that development.
Okay.
I'm a little bit concerned, number one, about that, because I don't know how it's being used as a tanking, but you do have in this traffic management ordinance the vehicle to handle that situation.
That's right.
If I'm wanting to develop something and I think that it is an asset and it is cost advantage to our city, I have the right to bring it before council and you can vote on it anyway if you want to.
We could have something like that we could have some flexibility in. We say, well, yes, it needs to be done as a result of this. And we will have the money in 2 years to do it. It's not going to kill anything for the time being, or a year, whatever. If we've got funding, let's say we've got a source of funding, it's borrowing the money or whatever. You have a plan. And if it's a year or two and it's not going to cause any safety problems, maybe you could go with the level E for a short period of time, knowing you have a plan to correct that in the near future.
And this ordinance, and just as you've said, I think what the roundtable discussion has been, this is a part of the overall road highway improvement plan that is needed for the city. This isn't the cure-all of that. I mean, we have to have, as Roger, I think, has tried to say, there's connector issues that are a part and parcel of this that will reduce some of the traffic impacts that we have now on Whiskey Road. When we have those connectors in, we get reduced, which allows other opportunities to develop, and we continue to grow and prosper as a city.
Yeah.
This is just a part of the overall.
You heard this before, but it's a perfect example of things. Several years ago, when we put in that connector between the mall and Target area, it took 1,400 or 1,500 cars in a 24-hour period off the road. And that was on the midweek, a Wednesday or something. Right, Roger? So that's just a sample of what some of these cut-through kinds of things and connectors can do. It might sound like just a little bit, but when you add enough of them together, you're making a difference. And so that's why we're continuing. We've got a whole list of cut-throughs that we haven't talked about, that we're talking to some of the business owners about making along the way, not just on Whiskey Road, but off some of the side roads. And they'll make a little bit of a difference. And put them together, it should really help.
But these were projects we've already planned. You have in mind, we've been developing.
We don't have them approved yet or anything like that.
Yeah, but we've been looking for money as we go along to squeeze some of them. We've done some of them.
Oh, yes, we have, and we have some more on the
drawing. Yeah, right, and they're still not really...
Okay. With regard to your initial comment, if you're going to do a study and it's going to be done by a designated professional engineer, why don't you let the professional engineer tell you where the impact is? I mean, the professional traffic engineer is using boundaries that are set within his profession. He can tell you how far the impact's going to be. Whether you want to deal with it or not is a political decision. But the traffic engineer can tell you whether this project is going to impact a mile away, a half a mile, or a quarter mile.
Opinions are like ears. You know, well, everybody's got at least two of them, and it's normally more than that.
So. Well, you're talking.
Can we have a traffic engineer who wants to speak?
I make one little minor comment about the quarter.
Roger, right, come closer so we can.
Sorry about the allergy thing I've got going on here, but just one little quick thing about the quarter mile, half mile, where that came from. Generally, any two traffic lights that are within a quarter of a mile of each other need to be coordinated so you get progressive flow. That's exactly where that came from. And to go the half mile, that was for the larger developments where obviously the potential for people coming is from a much wider area. But that quarter mile goes back to coordination of traffic signals.
I said, well, let them put them closer. We can't put them closer than 1,100 feet.
800 feet.
800.
So where we're at right now is, I think everybody understands the language, what it says. Do we need to change anything at this point in time?
In the entire garage?
No. On this program.
That's
better than your Bedouin by Papilio. Be around for a while.
Okay, what we have,
thing you read today,
again, what we have here now is saying that the developer will pay for what additional traffic that they're adding to intersections or areas or segments of roadway beyond the development, and they'll pay that share based on the amount of traffic that they're adding additionally. The example that was given, if there's 10,000 trips per day on that road, at 5,000 more, improvement needs to be made, one-third of the improvement would be paid for by the developer. The only question that we have in mind, and council needs to think about this over the next season of time, is where's the other two-thirds of the dollars going to come up with?
Yeah.
And that's an issue beyond this.
And when it comes to city council as the initial proposal, if we know this proposal is going to, this is what bothers me, one of the many things that bothers me about ProRata. If it comes to us and we know we're going to have to come up with $750,000, in other words, in order to do the mitigation, our share of the mitigation, I'm not sure I would vote for that, because if we didn't think we could come up with the $750,000, then...
Right. There may have to be some adjustments on.
I mean, then maybe it would need to get approved in the first place. I mean, we can't just approve things. Like you said, maybe the city will never come up with their money. We can't do that. I mean, we can do that. But what kind of a responsible city council would that be? We'd say, well, we'll just approve it, and then, you know, we might get the money, we might not get the money.
I think you're absolutely right. I don't agree with that. We would certainly study that, and I think we'd make the right decision. Steve, you want to say something?
No.
Okay. But I think this is important from the standpoint where we go with this. I honestly believe that we should have, and everybody should know about it, every citizen in this town should know what we're trying to do to help alleviate the problems, and we're going to try to figure a way to pay for it. If they know, because there's people out there right now,
I see it every day. I'm in it every day. That God, mind if we just had this connector in where I could didn't have to get on Whiskey Road. It sure would be nice. There's a lot of people right now that would like to have those roads fixed. So to say that, you know, it's the next guy. And plus, we've already got the Woodside annexation has already been done. We know what those houses are going to be. We know what we just approved on all the subdivisions we've done. And there aren't any. There's not going to be any mitigation on any of that. So there's people. So I think what we need to do is say, okay, guys, staff, you come and say, this is the road we want to improve. And we debate it, and we say, yeah, and then we let the citizens know. And where we're going to come up with this is part of it's going to be paid from new development, and part of it's going to be paid for you. And look them dead in the eye and say, now, you want to improve your roads or not? Because we can say we're going to do nothing, but those new rooftops are going to come. We got to come up with a way to pay for it. And I'd like to see this committee formulate, this is the road improvements we need to make, and sit down with our state representatives, because they're building roads in other parts of this state. You go to Charleston, you go to Greenville, you go everywhere else, they're getting the money from somewhere, and I want them to say, this is what we need. Over the next 5 to 10 years, we need $10 million. Now, go get it for us. We'll put up $2 million. But we want somebody, and I think this is the kind of committee that we need to go to them and say, guys, you're up there, and your job is to try to get us this money, because they're state roads. And I think we need to use this and just level it out for the city to say, here's what we need. We're willing to have the citizens pay for X. The developers should be able to pay for X with the new growth. And we want the state to pay for X. And if we do it, we can accomplish it. I believe that.
Well, I agree with everything you said. But let's also face the facts. The state is in dire need of money for roads. We've got bridges falling down. We've got roads. We've got some of the worst roads in the state. I've asked for information from the state. I've got a packet of information right there. It's about the budget. It's what the money they've got, who's getting what, what's it for, and that kind of thing. And I'm trying to get a conversation with the local mayor, who's head of DOT. Because two times I've talked to her in the last year and a half, she's always saying she doesn't have enough money to do her job. So Pat, you've raised this question several times, and I agree with you, but it's not that easy. How many times have you talked to the legislators?
Well, one thing maybe
that we've got to try
from a political will standpoint. From a political will standpoint, maybe those of us who believe in fiscal conservatism will say, guys, maybe it's time to add 1 or 2 cents to the gas tax or something.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I mean, we got conservative business people here, but nobody stood them up and said, this is what we need in the state infrastructure going ahead.
Okay.
And nobody wants to pay for nothing.
And maybe we need a car tax.
As a conservative Democrat, I will not do that.
You don't believe it. You and your tax cuts.
You guys are talking about the major expenditures. What Roger said is a lot of these things are smaller ones.
Well, I know it. The majors keep coming up.
But he's got
Jane brought up a surplus of $1 million. But maybe that's a possibility.
Can you imagine that?
The way this is worded, you've got 2 years to figure it out. Once they've done their traffic study, tell us what the problem is. They put up their piece. You've got 2 years to either figure out what you can do in a funding or
what. I'm telling you, 2 years ain't long
enough.
We said a lot around the table here, all to avoid the main discussion of the sensitivity of who's going to pay for it. The bottom line is we're all going to have to pay. That's the bottom line. Like it or not.
Sure.
When the rubber meets the rug, we're all going to pay it. Whether you're north side, the south side, east or west, we're going to have to pay for it.
Or
along with your developers sharing that. But we're all going to have to pay for it. If we're going to have the quality of growth and manage it properly, it's going to cost something. It doesn't come free. But you don't want to, you don't want the taxpayers bearing the majority of the cost. But you want to do what's fair, coming up with as fair of an ordinance as you can.
For my money, I think they have. Yes. I think that's staff has drafted a pretty good ordinance right there.
Okay, what do we want to do from here on? Is there enough discussion? Do we want to look at another draft and another informal
one last item, guys.
I'm sorry, Roger.
That I wanted to get into. I'm going to leave it right now the way it's written on the pro rata share until you all come up with something better. But under item 4, it says that if we do not spend the money that they've given us all these improvements within 2 years, we're going to get the money back. 2 years is
not long enough.
That's a long time. That was what was mentioned last time. Yeah. We had it before 5 years. It takes most cases just to plan out of improvement.
2 to 3 years
to get the property, to plan it out. I'd like to turn it back to 5 years.
I would agree.
That'd be a letter of credit or something that the developer has to come up with.
If the issue of interest is not included in that.
And if it's not done, I think it's only fair to them that you get some percent or something. If we invest the money, if the city takes the money and puts it at the...
Most of the time what we're getting from developers now is a letter of credit. We're not getting the money. They either post a bond or get a letter of credit. Letter of credit.
He's paying for that, though, right? Every for that letter of credit.
Yeah, 1%.
They don't give you that letter of credit.
What do they pay? 1% for the letter of credit?
No, it's about 1.5%.
Well, Jimmy, the only way to get it back to them is to take it to the taxpayer.
And since we didn't have the money, we would not be giving anything back. We would not be giving the interest on it.
Because this is 5 years.
5 years.
What about if it's not used for the intended mitigation? I mean, I think it's got to be mitigation specific.
If a right-hand turn lane is necessary based on the traffic study, that money's going to be for a right-hand turn lane. We can't go ahead and put a signal somewhere else in another location.
Because it doesn't say that. It says it's not used.
Okay, I thought it did say that.
Not used for the intended mitigation, specific mitigation. I'm just looking at the last sentence, number four.
We can make that more specific, that it's not used for that purpose.
But it does say, says if the necessary improvement is not on or adjacent to the site, the developer could sell or share the improvements based on those improvements based on the necessary improvement, right?
I thought,
again, it's only covered it, but
if you want
it. It doesn't work where they are.
But I can see coming to city council and say that the money, what we did spend the money. We bought the police car. Well, the mayor knew.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Oh, ye of little.
And the other thing on that same paragraph, if in the portion in the middle of the paragraph, it talked about if the physical conditions don't allow for construction, and that the Planning Commission recommends relief, why would we want to collect money something that's physically impossible to do? And you just might turn around and give it back in 5 years.
That's the sentence right in the middle of paragraph four where it starts, if the Commission recommends relief, it may also recommend the developer make payment in lieu of mitigation not to exceed the cost. If you can't do the mitigation, why would you collect the money?
Because the city couldn't do it.
Well, what's the intent there? There might be a reason to do it.
I think there was.
It might be that you can't do it now, but you can do it later. Or
right. I think that's the intent.
Is that it? There may be all kinds of circumstances that come up. The state may say, well, right now we can't do it, and we may do it later.
No, but that's not. It's talking about physical conditions.
Physical conditions.
Well, at least the physical conditions, he can apply for relief, but you're still going to charge him for, there's a pond. You can't put a road over a pond.
And maybe there's some reason why he can't, because the person wouldn't sell the property at that period of time.
Well,
wouldn't get the right of way. We may have to go to condemnation, go to court to get it.
Still going in the same 5 years.
Didn't we have something in an earlier version that said that this would be done on this way and the money would be used on some other spot in the city?
Yes,
in a congested area. I don't remember that, but I wonder if we didn't get rid of the word.
That's in contradiction to the rules. If you're collecting the money and you don't use it for the intended mitigation, it's contradiction.
Okay. What am I hearing? I heard okay. I mean, if you want us to clarify this more, you want us to take the sentence out?
Well, I think just clarify. If it physically cannot be done, the question is, why would you collect money? But if there are circumstances where currently it couldn't be done, but maybe in the future or some other reason that you need to collect money, I just think it needs to be clarified.
You may have physical relief, and you may have something else. It's just there's a building in the way that it may burn down in 5 years, 3 years.
Is there
ever a time when a project would not be approved because of the physical conditions that would not allow for the mitigation? I mean, if there is some, if there's a house where you want to put your access road or something, and it isn't going to burn in 5 years, and so why would you build a project if there's a pond that you can't build a bridge over? I mean,
it's
why would you approve the project?
It's a mitigation.
Well, if the mitigation cannot be accomplished.
Because you can say a half mile down the road, this property
well,
can be off
the property. If the traffic is going to be impacted because of this project, and there's no way to do the mitigation, then why would you approve the project?
Because you want the property. It's our school. It's our hospital. It's something that you want.
Small scale.
You may want.
In many things can happen. The connector roads be approved and built that changes the traffic patterns.
Appeal to council and council can make a judgment.
There are.
There was, I think, more clear language. I'm sorry.
I can't find where we have more clear language than this. I think this was the original language.
Yeah. Well, is there not something in that from the original ordinance that we could borrow?
It was crossed out.
Yeah, we crossed out.
Okay, so what's the question? Let's make sure we
physical.
Why should the developer or the owner of the property pay a fee for a mitigation that cannot physically be made?
I don't think they should.
Well, let's take it out.
But take the
why is it in there?
But if it's something that is it could happen in the future, or then if it's not in there, how do we then? Who pays in the future?
It's over 2 years. You give it back anyway.
I'm saying, like what you said about you turn late to the property, you have to go. If you had to add a turn
late,
maybe what you
put in there,
you
got it put in there.
That mitigation can't be made in that 5 years. In other words, it's a right of way, for example. Well, it may or may not be able to be achieved, then you go ahead and collect the money. But if it's a pond or a river, you know, or something that you know in 5 years is still going to be there, then you probably wouldn't. So it may be that, and I don't know if the developer believes it, but if you know, the developer's got to convince the council. Mm-hmm. But if the developer believes that physical conditions do not allow for the construction of all or part of the recommended mitigation within 5 years, okay, he may request request some relief on that. And he'd have to show that why this could not be done in 5 years. If it's a right of way, it may or may not be able to be done.
This assumes that it's not done in 5 years, it's not going to be done at all. But I wonder if you put something in this paragraph that says you're not doing it in 5 years, but you're going to do it. I think some of us might be happy, but as you read this, if it's not done in 5 years, it's not done. And that's not fair to the entire process.
But it's a physical.
What is a non-physical condition?
I think making words with it where it's not
just physical.
Not
the developer believes that conditions do not permit him to do it right now.
The reason the statement was in here, this statement was put in here when we had considered using impact fees. So that an impact fee was going to be placed on all development, and if something physically couldn't be done, maybe there's a dam there, and you just didn't want to widen that dam, or that bridge just wasn't going to be, you would still go ahead and collect those fees and use for other purposes. But again, that was there primarily when we were talking about impact fees and collecting that funding.
So this needs to be.
So we can go ahead.
That's what I thought it was left in there.
Sure. Okay. But then the 5 years needs to be moved up to paragraph 3. If necessary improvements made, somehow the 5 years got to be moved up somewhere else. There's still a case in item 4 if the developer believes that physical conditions do not allow for the construction of this development, and there may be some cases. I'm thinking right now that we're looking at a case at Powderhouse Road in Whiskey where there's a gas station.
and I recall that we need to have a right-hand turn lane put into that location based on a new housing development off Potter House Road and then Stratford Hall having some new commercial development. Traffic study said we need a right-hand turn lane going northbound on Whiskey Road and Potter House. The developer certainly is not going to be able to get that property. You know, we may have to condemn that property. We may be in court for a long time. There's some circumstance we just don't know if certain things are, or the state may say, we're not going to allow that certain signal to be put in at that particular location. We think it's needed.
But other things can happen too, I think. Another connector road could have been built, or something could have done to actually eliminate or certainly reduce the need for that.
And if that's the case, then could we use that money that would have been used for that right-hand turn lane if we were for the connector road in?
I'd say no.
What's going to happen like with that? If it's approved and then the traffic study says, oh, you've got, okay, so it does say you have to have a right-hand turn lane.
And that's right in front of that tower.
And that business doesn't want it. They have a right to their business on that corner. I mean, just because some traffic engineer from somewhere says that this has to happen. I mean, well, we don't know who the traffic engineer is. That's another question.
In this particular case of running a turn lane, there is enough right of way to be able to.
There is, okay. Because I would certainly to think that somebody could have a business on the corner. A development could be 100 yards behind him, and all of a sudden he's supposed to give up his driveway? No.
A good case that might happen is that the Doherty Road, Whiskey Road intersection, you got a bowling alley within about 10 or 12 feet of that roadway. What could happen if they put in their right-hand turn lane? There's not a lot of room there. There's also some big power lines there.
Yeah, but Roger, doesn't this give the city council flexibility? Just because it says to the traffic study, that's a piece of
the council still has the final.
You can decide whether or not to approve this kind of project as is, or whether you can't do those things.
And the state may come and say, still no.
Right. But that's why you go to the council here. You can't write an ordinance around 100% of everything.
That was another question.
Go back to planning.
About the legality of what we're doing. If we don't own the road, if the city doesn't own the road, it doesn't own property, how can they do a pro rata or anything?
Again, we're going to have to work with the highway department because just like every one of these roads are state maintained and get their approval and work with them on the improvement.
But
their cost estimate will be a pro rata.
And like council said and stated, there may be some cases that, while some were to look at the price tag, it's going to be $1 million for improvement. The developer says, I'm going to pay $250. We may have to say, we just can't do this. And therefore, because we can't do it, we may have to change some things in the development or maybe not have the development at all at this point in time. But maybe when the connector road gets in there, that opens up and changes everything all over again and allows you to go ahead and do what was proposed.
Or the developer could say, oh, I'll do that.
That's what they probably did.
Yeah, and council said, no, Jane, that is correct. They could say, we'll up the
street. No, there's a lot of big bucks driving them, they know.
There's got to be flexibility in all of this.
Well, I think that's right.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and redevelop this ordinance. Do we want to meet again, or should we bring it to council, and then you can look at that time? There's not any major changes that I see that we'll be making. I'm not too sure.
My recommendation would be to get us the revised version in sufficient time that we can all have a review, have a look at it, and if there's a deal that we need to all get back together and do that. And otherwise, we've been through the whole thing. I think
it's very close myself.
I think we'll be back to make some modifications at some point.
Depending on the feedback, we can either go directly into an ordinance form to city council, or if there seems to be some minor feedback, we could hold a work session before a council meeting.
Is this going to take you a little longer? When is this going to happen?
We got a number of items coming up for some in the last meeting in September, so we'll probably have this ready for City Council the first meeting in October. That way you'll have a chance to send this out, get your comments, get it back. So I'd say it's going to be the first thing you want to post.
Thank you, everybody.
Okay.